Well, I too greet you in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. Well, some things that I was reminded of this morning again, just listening to the things that were shared, is, you know, we were reminded that life is short and days come and go very quickly. And so I was reminded this morning again how important it is to live our life with purpose. How easy it is to just let life slide by and just let it happen. But we, God wants us to live life with purpose. And a song that we sang this morning in Psalms, there was a verse there in Psalms chapter 95, and we see purpose in these verses here. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And I see David's writings there that he was coming before the Lord with purpose, with a clean heart. And then the children's lesson there, how important it is to learn obedience. And, you know, the lesson that I got from Matthew's story there is, you know, we think that maybe we'll get away with it. And, you know, it didn't seem like he thought that he would hit that animal, but he took a chance. And it's like, you know, that's what sin does to us. If we think that somehow we can just bend a little bit and not be affected by it, it will affect us. And so I was blessed by those thoughts this morning. I'd like to just pause and have a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do just pause before You. We thank You, Lord, that we can be here this morning. We thank You for the blessings of life, and we thank You that for Your word here. And Lord, we desire to place ourselves before You and allow You to teach us further, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that You would prepare each one of our hearts that we can receive the things that You have for us. I pray, Lord, that You would also give me the ability to share the things that You have shown me. We just want to commit this time here to You. We thank You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about sharing here this morning, this past week, I had a conversation with a man that is struggling in life, and I had opportunity to spend some time with him and just talk to him about life. And as we were talking, he realized that, you know, there's nothing more he can do on his own, that life is where it's at. And I suggested that maybe he should consider surrendering those things to the Lord and surrendering his life to God. And he thought that, yeah, that's probably something that he should do. And talked about placing himself before people that care about his soul. And he thought that that would be good. But he said his sister goes to a certain church, and he would think that he would like to go there. But there was one problem, and that problem was that the pastor that goes there in that church, he apparently told him some things that he didn't appreciate in the past, and he was just having a hard time getting beyond that. And so just thinking about that and how, you know, how easy it is for to hang on to things. And I suggest it's like, well, I can find this pastor's phone number and we could have a meeting and sit down and talk about these things and try to put these things behind us and clear the air, so to speak. So as I was just thinking about that in life and, you know, talking about surrender and giving our struggles and trials to God, and couldn't help but ponder my own life. And, you know, life comes at us and it's like, well, what do I do with things? Am I living that out in my life? And so I guess the question that I would like to ask myself is, do I understand what surrender means in living sold out for Jesus? In Matthew chapter 26, there's an account there that we can look at. And I'd just like to turn there. And as I do that, just one verse that I'd like to read before we look at this. In Thessalonians chapter 5, we see Paul writing a letter here. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And as I was pondering that, you know, Paul was writing letters and reminding his people. And he knew that they already knew these things. And yet he was taking the time to write to them about the importance of being ready, the importance of keeping our hearts on the Lord. And I guess this morning, you know, that's how I feel. I feel like these are not new things to us, but they're things that I believe that we need to be reminded and make sure that we're prepared. In Matthew chapter 26, going down to verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Here Jesus was preparing his disciples for the things that were going to take place. And we see Peter's response here. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. This is where Peter was taking his stand and his statement. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. They all agreed that they were going to be true and loyal to him. But if we if we continue reading in this chapter, we see that they were not able to keep true to the commitment to the... They weren't where they thought they were. And, you know, how did this take place? You know, Peter denied him. And we see a desire to serve Jesus, but no ability to follow through. Life was hitting home a lot closer than they were prepared for. And as I was pondering that and reading these verses here, you know, they probably weren't prepared to see one of their own betray Jesus, you know, one of their people. And then the authorities around them were involved, and it was people that they knew, that they were connected to. And then the question was asked to them, you know, are you also a follower of Jesus? Do you belong to him? And they could probably see and feel the hatred that the people had towards this man, Jesus. And their hearts started to shrivel. The fear of man started coming into their lives. And they quickly just went in the shadows, and it's like, no, we don't know anything. We're not connected here. And we see that, you know, where they were, where Peter was here in the beginning of this story, is that they weren't prepared for that. The price was higher. It was going to cost more than what they had counted. Surrendering to God, you know, they're yielded to the Lord. It was not as deep as they thought. In Psalms chapter 40, just like to turn to that. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. The price was higher than what they had anticipated. In Acts chapter 13, we turn to that chapter as we look at what takes place here. We see rejoicing happening here in verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. When we think about a people being filled with joy, they were excited, and God's Spirit was flowing in them. And what had just happened here? And they were experiencing the joy of the Lord. We just back up a couple of verses. The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. There was a people that started talking to the people that were committed to them, that were committed, apparently we're following God, They were devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. And they stirred things up to the point that they were chased out of this city. And the disciples, you know, they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And when we see that happening, you know, that's not something that we get from seeking after worldly things. You know, when that happens, when we're chasing, trying to find fulfillment in this world, and that happens, we find ourselves greatly disturbed maybe, or discouraged to the point of, it's like, well, you know, I've been rejected. You know, that's what it feels like. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in our hearts. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You know, if it was meat and drink, you know, then obviously the disciples here in Acts would not be able to be filled with joy in a time of hardship. But it is rather righteousness and peace and joy in our hearts. You know, we see here the fruit of a heart, a life that is committed, that is surrendered to Jesus. It is the fruits of when things are taking place that are out of our control, and we are a vessel, an instrument in this situation, and we give it to God. And we allow Him to be God, and we allow Him to work however He wants to work. And we just surrender those things to Him. And like we see in verse 52 in Acts, and they experience righteousness and peace and joy in the Lord. It was the fruits of their yielding to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter did not like what Jesus was teaching. You know, in this passage here, it wasn't part of Peter's plan. He had a different plan for their lives with Jesus. And we see Peter coming against these things here when Jesus was teaching them in verse 25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If any man will come after me, if we come after the Lord, we must deny ourselves. Surrender. When we think about surrender, you know, we think about a life of giving up our own will And we think about surrender in our human way of thinking, our human hearts. You know, surrender goes, doesn't go. Our heart doesn't enjoy doing that. It doesn't trust that. It means that I have to give up control of what I think is going to happen. And when Jesus was teaching the disciples there what was going to happen in his life, that was hard for them to accept that, because that meant that they were going to have to give up their ideas and their way of thinking and give it to the Lord. It means that I have to entrust my desires, my will, to someone else. Allow God to plan my life out. What does take up your cross and follow Jesus? What does that mean? When we, when we think about a cross, we think about, in our minds sometimes maybe, we think about a heavy burden, something that is hard to carry. And, I don't think that's exactly what the cross is. I believe the cross is a total commitment to Jesus. And if we are living in our allowing our flesh to have its way, a total commitment, that looks like a really hard thing. But if we look at Matthew chapter 11, and we think about what it says here, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so if we can get a picture of that, we see a heart here that is trusting and experiencing peace and rest. When I stop and ponder that, it's really giving my life over, and I don't have to worry anymore. I'm trusting in God that He is in control of my life, and that He has a plan, and I can rest in that. And that's what God wants us to experience, each one of us. He wants us to just give our lives to Him and allow Him to have His way. We try to save our lives, we're going to lose it. Where are we making our investment? Are we making our investment in this world? Or are we making an investment for God? In Galatians chapter 2, Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I trust that this is our testimony. This is where we want our lives to shine, and you know, that we can live this out. You know, we die, yet we live. But it is Christ living in us. And it is Christ living through us. And when I look at that verse, you know, I see a life of purpose. A life of saying no to self. When I feel my flesh rising up, I learn to come to Jesus and yield those things to surrender that life to him and invite Jesus to live in me and through me. And I believe that is a a daily experience. It is something that is ongoing. We turn to Matthew chapter 4, and we see Andrew and Peter here in verse 17. In verse 18 and 19, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. You know, they were here. Jesus was pointing, he had their attention, and he called them, and they did what they needed to do to follow Jesus. They forsook all and followed him. If we go to Luke chapter 18, and we look at this account, we see, if we read in verse 18 to 23, the rich young ruler, and maybe I'll just read these verses here. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth. When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Here, you know, again, Jesus asked this young ruler here to follow him. And we see, it would seem like, you know, this young man was making a big effort in doing the right thing. And he was trying to impress Jesus here. And Jesus is like, well, those are good things, but, you know, there's one thing here that we really need to address. And when he was told what that was, he wasn't able. He wasn't willing. And he walked away sorrowful. He was sad. But he wasn't willing to do that. And so we look at these two accounts here, and we think about surrendering, yielding our lives to God. Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in this picture? You know, this rich young ruler, he just wanted to hold back some. He still wanted to be in control of this certain area in his life. He didn't want to give that over to God. You know, it sounds so familiar. You know, many people, they want Jesus. But they want to hold back some things for themselves. And sometimes, you know, that hits pretty close to home. And we do well to ask God to show us, you know, where we stand. And when, you know, in a sense, that's what this rich young ruler did. You know, he came to Jesus and he was like feeling pretty good about some of his life. And he said, you know, show me. Can you show me? He said, these are the things that I'm doing. What else am I supposed to be doing? But he wasn't as teachable as he thought. He wasn't ready. I pray that as we come to the Lord and we ask him to show us, that we're able to hear and we're able to receive and apply those things into our lives that need to be dealt with. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his plow, his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Maybe I should start reading earlier here. Let's go back to verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. In verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And what I get from those verses there is, you know, we need to move forward. You know, we look at at the disciples when Jesus came to them, you know, they knew what God was calling of them, and they let go of the things of the past, and they move forward with Jesus. Unlike the disciple, unlike the rich young ruler, you know, he was looking back and thinking about how certain things might benefit him or affect him if he does that. And so he was, when he looked back and he was like, no, it's just too much. We need to have our hearts on the Lord and on what he would have for us, and committed to him. You know, a life of surrender. God wants a heart and life that is surrendered, and he wants that from us. And he knows that it's going to be for our benefit. And so, you know, when we, he's asking that of us. He's offering his love to us. He's asking that, he's offering that to us as a choice. He's not demanding that. In 1 John here, in closing, chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that does the will of God abideth forever. We have that promise that, you know, if we serve God, and do live for him, that we have blessings and a promise to live with him. And maybe just one other verse here in John chapter 14, verse 27. As we learn, as we live a life of surrender and yielded to him, we experience this verse: peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, the difference of living a life of surrender and trusting in God with my life versus a life that is holding back and is trying to experience peace by being in control of my life. And we know that we've all probably experienced that in some way or in areas in our lives where it's like, well, I need to control this matter. I need to make sure things go a certain way. And we don't feel peaceful. We feel stressed and worried and anxious about life. But when we understand who God is, and we understand what a yielded life is, a heart that is surrendered, And we trust being there. We trust placing ourselves in that place and letting go. You know, we experience peace. We experience God's blessing. And I just trust that's what we want and desire. And I just pray that God would have His way in our lives. And if we're struggling in those areas, that He would, that we would reach out to Him and just give Him an opportunity and just experience that. You know, it seems like hurt, pain. I don't know. Not trusting. All these things get in the way of these things, and it's really the devil trying to put roadblocks in our lives. And it's like, well, I can't trust this, and I can't trust that, and you know, and we want to bring up the past and hang on to those things. But God wants to bless us. He wants to help us find freedom and peace. May the Lord bless.